appreciate these men leading us in a period of singing tonight, and I can say at least for myself, and I think it would be true of many of us, that were it not for the fact that there are teachers and students in other classrooms who are expecting to get out at a certain point, we'd all been glad to sit here and sing the rest of those songs and many more. We really appreciate that very much. We'll have some other announcements here in a few minutes, but Linda Anderson has written a note, and I wanted to read it to you. Linda's dad has just been diagnosed with cancer in a rather advanced stage, and she writes, "Because of my father's condition, I'll be in and out of town. Please pray for our family as we celebrate Dad's life with him while he's still with us, and for comfort as he passes to his reward in heaven." So we certainly want to keep Linda and the rest of the family in our prayers and consider them during this very difficult and painful time. When is a sacrifice not a sacrifice? It almost sounds like it can't be right, doesn't it? But I think we can find the answer to that question in Scripture. One of my favorite stories comes from the life of David and is found in 2 Samuel chapter 24. It's hard to find a spot exactly to begin with this story because God is displeased with the nation of Israel. And he has instructed David to take a census of sorts, to number the people. David, as he is in the midst of this, is aware of the consequences of all this and realizes that it is his sin that has caused God to prepare to wreak havoc on the nation. And God indeed does that for a period of time, 3 days. There is pestilence on the land. An angel comes and does these things to people. People get sick. Thousands of people die. But just before they get to Jerusalem, God says, "That's enough. Stop right there. Don't go any further." And the place where the angel stopped was at the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite, which is just on the outskirts of Jerusalem. At that time, Jerusalem's grown since then. And God, through the prophet Gad, brings a message to David. And David, and beginning in verse 18, Gad came that day to David and said to him, "Go up, raise an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite." So David went up at Gad's word as the Lord had commanded. And when Araunah looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming toward him. And Araunah went out and paid homage to the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be averted from the people." Then Araunah said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering and the threshing sledges and the yokes of oxen for the wood. All this, O king, Araunah gives to the king." And Araunah said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." But the king said, "No, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God of that which costs me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And there David built an altar to the Lord God and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord responded to the plea for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. When is a sacrifice not a sacrifice? When it costs you nothing. David knew that, and he would not trivialize this powerful moment by giving nothing of himself to make it happen. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we are urged to offer our own selves, our own bodies, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service or a reasonable kind of worship. So I ask again, when is a sacrifice not a sacrifice? And the answer is, when it costs us nothing. When we bring our offerings to God, the offerings of our worship, for many of us at least, this is a relatively simple thing for us to do. It costs us little. We take 2 hours out of our morning and go to a worship service on Sunday. We make an offering to God of our means, of our abundance. And I challenge us tonight to ask whether our sacrifice is a sacrifice, whether it costs, and how God might look upon it. For after all, God knows how to offer a sacrifice, doesn't He? Think about it. God possesses all that is. He made it. If there is anybody that would have a hard time finding something to sacrifice, something that would actually cost Him something, surely it would be God. But He picked the one thing, the one offering that He could make for the sins of mankind that would actually cost Him something. And so Jesus went to the cross. And in response to that, we offer what? We make an offering, I hope, of that which costs us something. I want to challenge us all tonight to think about our offering to God, to examine our own lives with a kind of introspective posture that will help us to understand just what a big deal this is. It may be, even in this room tonight, are those who would have to acknowledge that they have attempted to offer to God of that which costs them nothing, really. We have the opportunity, always, at any moment, to turn to God and express our regret, our repentance, for the half-hearted service that we sometimes render, for our selfishness, for our stubbornness. We offer this invitation tonight to facilitate that if it needs to happen in a public way. What is it that you want to offer to God tonight? I'll give you a hint. What God is looking for is your life. That which costs you not only nothing, but which costs you everything. Would you make that kind of offer tonight? If you need to become a Christian, God has so much for you, and He sacrificed greatly to offer it to you. In return, He simply asks that you devote your life to His care and that you allow Him to work within your life for His glory. If you need to become a Christian, or if your sin has become a burden on you and you want to unload that at the foot of the cross, would you make that known by coming forward as we stand and sing together?